This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All I said was this, and I'm responding to what constituents write me about, and they're looking.
Okay, I've had so much trouble because they've been getting like these.
For some time, I've had a growing conviction that Congress is not operating as it should.
I'm looking at the desk and finally Suzanne bombs.
A little bit loose, and that's just the way it is.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I tell you what, this is a show where truth is our bitch, a Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass and grass, your ass. Look at the news and at the issues, and maybe at the way you see news and issues. And welcome to our program, 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. And you can visit us over there, and you can watch the show right now. Right this very moment, you can watch us performing the show, as well as listen to the live streaming audio, as well as find an affiliate list there of all of the affiliates that we have across the country. And do it now, man. So it's philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Coming up tonight, in fact, this hour, we're going to have with us Mr. Roland Schwind. He is with an organization called Americans Plus, which is a group of Americans who are plus size, heavy set, overweight, if you will, Americans, paying a great deal of attention with much curiosity to a story of Kevin Smith, the film director. He, the director of Mallrats, Clerks, Chasing Amy. Kevin Smith was told by Southwest Airlines that he's too fat to fly. And so we're going to be looking into that story this hour. Also coming up tonight, a doctor has sex with his patient and bills her health insurance for it. I'm not kidding. And Family Guy mocks Sarah Palin's mentally disabled kid. I'm not kidding. But then you probably know that I'm not kidding. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. In a moment, we will have with us Roland Schwind from Americans Plus. But first off, film director Kevin Smith says on his Twitter page that he's been kicked off of an airline because he was too fat to fly. Now, he's probably gained a little bit of weight. I was actually sitting behind Kevin Smith on a flight going to Aspen, Colorado about 4 or 5 years ago, and he was a normal-sized guy. He had his daughter with him, or one of his children with him, and he didn't seem too large. But I guess he's gotten bigger as the years have gone by. The incident occurred after he boarded a Southwest Airlines flight to Burbank from Oakland, California. Smith was seated but was eventually tossed from the flight. The director and actor says the pilot ejected him from a Southwest Airlines flight because saying he didn't fit properly in a single seat, but Smith believes it's because the pilot didn't like one of his movies. Smith raised a stink about the incident on his Twitter page, saying, "I'm way fat, but I'm not there just yet, and if you look like me, you may be ejected from Southwest Airlines." Southwest says its customer of size policy requires travelers must be able to fit safely and comfortably in one seat or make other arrangements. After a storm of angry online comments from Smith and his fans, the airline issued an apology first from its own Twitter account and later in a statement on its website titled "Not So Silent Bob," a jovial jab at the Silent Bob character Smith plays in many of his films. Said the statement from Southwest Airlines, "We'd like to echo our tweets and again offer our heartfelt apologies to you." The airline said it also accommodated Smith on a later flight, gave him a $100 voucher, and apologized. "You guys screwed up, Southwest. Why is it so hard to own up to that? Now I'm going to carry this too fat to fly crap around like herpes for the rest of my life, and it was never even true." And that's why, see, he said it was probably because the pilot didn't like his movie. Here is Kevin Smith on his podcast.
"I did not for a single second think what was coming because it was beyond my comprehension. You know what I'm saying? Again, I know I'm fat, but I'm not that fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's fat and there's fat. There are people who are fat like me, but double wide like me.
But we also fly all the time. We fly almost
there on one
weekly
seat." So Suzanne leans down and goes, "Mr. Smith, we kind of have a problem." I said, what is it?" And she goes, "The captain says that you can't sit here." That's when it starts dawning on me.
Oh, my.
And I go, "Oh, why?" And she goes, well, no, it's a safety issue, a security measure. And I said, what? Wait, safety, security? What are you talking about? So I'm like, what do you, I mean, but ma'am, I'm fine. I'm sitting down. She's like, well, it's just, if you can't lower the armrests, then we're not, we can't let you, you know, what she wanted to say was, you're too fat. You have to buy two seats, but this plane's too full. So you can't buy two seats. So you're going to have to go.
All right, let's get Roland Schwinn on here. That was the podcast there with Kevin Smith today. I don't know who the woman was. Do you know Mr. Schwinn?
Yeah, so I believe that was his wife, but I can't be sure. And again, we are neutral. You know, we're not in this fight because we're necessarily Kevin Smith fans. We're in this fight because Americans Plus is an organization that represents a fair number of Americans. Our organization is growing in terms of membership every day, and we're asking that heavyset people, overweight, even morbidly obese people, be treated as human beings like everyone else.
Do you think that Kevin Smith was treated unfairly?
We think the policy is unfair. If the policy is that Mr. Smith needed to buy two seats because of his size, the policy is in place simply because Southwest Airlines is not getting a maximum bang for its dollar. If Mr. Smith is too big for these seats, Southwest Airlines can do one of a great many things. They can re-engineer the seating arrangement or reconfigure the seating arrangement in their aircraft. Southwest Airlines, you know, can allow Mr. Smith to sit in two seats if he so chooses. But the answer is not, in our opinion, the answer is not in making him buy another ticket, because that's simply a financial advantage and gain that Southwest wants to take advantage of. It's nothing to do with safety. We would have to say in this particular instance that we agree with Mr. Smith. We don't think that he should have had to purchase another ticket. We agree with his standing his ground on this. And I think that more and more people who are of plus size, people with extra girth, they're seeing the light on this and they're refusing this and standing their ground, you know.
It was one of these things where fat people, if you'll pardon the expression.
We don't have a problem with the word fat, Bill. We don't have a problem with the term obese. What we do have a problem with is the treatment that we receive, the unequal, inequitable treatment we see from public accommodations all the way from airlines all the way down to hotels.
All right. Do you think that this has gone on because overweight people, fat people, are a little sheepish about protesting? If somebody says to you, and you're fat, you got to buy two seats, pal, because you're too big, they go ahead and they pay the money.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They go ahead, they don't want to cause a problem.
Absolutely. There's no question that we have been, as a people, we have been so browbeat and so pushed around, really, by society that we go ahead and we do whatever anybody tells us to do. But we're growing in our awareness. We recognize that if we have to pay more for an extra seat, there are people that also should be paying an extra fee for the discomfort and for the safety, possible the compromising of safety that they bring on an airplane.
Such as?
Well, such as parents that bring children on board. There is no real reason why children should fly. There is necessity, obviously, for adults to fly because of business or medical emergencies or what have you. There's no real necessity for a child to fly. When parents bring a child on board, they bring that child onto an aircraft at the possible discomfort or disadvantage of the passengers. We all know the noise that children can make. We know that, that because of their youth, it can be a very uncomfortable flight with children. Do these parents pay extra? No, they don't. Do they pay extra because this could possibly compromise the safety of the aircraft? No, they don't. We also know that people who sit by a window, who prefer the window seat, and yet are constantly getting up and crawling over the passengers to get to the center aisle so that they can go to the lavatory, this compromises the safety and possibly the comfort, certainly, and possibly the safety of people that are flying. Do those people have to pay extra? No, they don't. So you can see by those two examples I've given you, I think it's pretty clear, and I think we've made our case ironclad, that there is no reason why a Kevin Smith or any other plus-size American, overweight American, obese American should pay for another seat so long as other people are allowed to compromise the comfort and the safety of the aircraft.
Do you really think that people who bring children are on board are compromising the safety of the aircraft?
I think that it's possible. I certainly know that they're compromising the comfort of the people around them. And see, this is a fee. This is a fee that's being charged to overweight people. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that there is some problem in terms of the safety of the seat. It's a fee. You are a large person, and even if you could sit in that seat, we're charging you a fee. We believe that the fee should be also applied to others, and then we certainly can see our way clear to paying it. Barring that, there is no reason for overweight people to pay for an extra seat or to be humiliated that way, so long as people are bringing their children on board. And I think that's the issue we want to go for. People sitting at the window, we recognize is very important, but we don't think it's, if I can use the word, it's not as sexy as going after people with kids. If we can go after people with kids and tell them that their children don't belong on an airplane, we'll get a little more attention for ourselves.
Okay, I'm going to go to a break, but that last thing you just said to me, you said that was very unusually candid. You're strategizing.
I'm not strategizing. It occurred to me as I was speaking to you that it's far more effective for us to say to parents, don't bring your kid because your kid makes me uncomfortable, and you don't have to fly with your kid, so don't tell me that I have to buy another seat. So if I have to buy another seat, they pay a fee for bringing the kid. To be honest with you, it just now occurred to me.
All right, we're talking with Mr. Roland Schwinn. He's with a group called Americans Plus. And the Kevin Smith story, an interesting story from this past week. And Mr. Smith, the film director who bought or was forced to buy an extra seat or was going to buy an extra seat, I guess he didn't, because of his weight, because of his girth by Southwest Airlines. Mr. Schwinn is with Americans Plus. He doesn't think anybody who's overweight should have to pay for an extra seat. He says that it's a punitive fee just because of their size. It has nothing to do with anything. And if they have to pay for an extra seat, then people who bring children on board should also pay extra because children can sacrifice comfort. Obviously, they can compromise the comfort and safety of the aircraft. So should customers with kids get hit with fees to fly instead of or in addition to the overweight? 877-876-PHIL. More with Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. We come back. 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
L.A. police were able to extinguish most of the fires, but that didn't stop the crowd from growing increasingly rowdy and violent. And then get a load of what they were doing. People were taking pictures of themselves in front of bonfires holding looted stuff. In other words, a dude rips off some shoes, then takes a picture of himself. He takes a picture of himself committing a crime, and he puts it up on YouTube. Whoa, yeah! And joining me here, Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus, an organization, Mr. Schwinn, that I guess is an organization of heavy people, right?
Well, we say that we're an organization of heavy set, obese, morbidly obese people. We don't exclude anyone. There's no real requirement for membership other than the fact that you are an individual with a size issue when it comes to weight. And what we have told people who are part of our organization in our newsletter, in our seminars, really the problem is not yours. The problem is the world around us accommodates everybody else except those of us who enjoy carrying extra weight. And a person who sits next to us on an aircraft complaining about our size, they don't understand that heavy-set people probably are better in terms of personal hygiene than most other people. And that we will pay for an extra seat when people start paying for their kids extra a fee for bringing them on board.
Now, you're talking about they pay for the seat of the child, but you want a fee charged to parents who bring their kids.
Exactly, because that's what they're doing to us because of our size. This isn't about buying another seat. This is about penalizing us because we're big. They can easily reconfigure their aircraft. They can have fewer seats. There's a lot of things they could do. But they want to penalize the people who are heavy. At the same time, they get a little bit extra money. Well, here's another way they can make money. Start to charge these parents money, extra money, a fee, when they bring their children on board, because there's no reason to have the children on board. There's no reason at all to bring children on aircraft. They don't need to fly. They are not in business. They're not, unless it's a medical emergency. It is a nuisance and again, unnecessary.
All right, Roland Schwinn with us. I want to play one more clip here from Kevin Smith and then go to some phone calls. This is Mr. Smith on his podcast. After finally leaving the flight, Mr. Smith says he gets doublespeak from Suzanne, is who he calls her, Suzanne of Southwest Airlines.
I'm waiting at the desk, and finally Suzanne bombs up, and I'm like looking at her badge and immediately writing her name
down. Of course.
And I was just like, and
you know,
she was I apologize.
I gotta stop it. I can't stand it.
What is the problem?
I can't take some jackass. He's a film director. He's doing his little podcast. Who's the woman?
Like I said, I think that's his wife.
I get the picture, Mr. Smith. You know, 877-876 Phil.
Why would you not listen to what Kevin Smith has to say?
Because he's dull. Because he's. Is it his wife? Okay, he's just dull. That's all. I got the idea. He didn't like the fact that they charged him. 877-876 Phil.
Well, that's an example, I think, of the prejudice. That, you don't want to listen to Kevin Smith because why? You say he's dull or he's overweight?
That's got nothing to do with his weight. I just don't want to listen to 3 minutes of this guy. I already get the picture of what the hell is wrong with him. 877-876 Phil. Here is Derek in La Mirada, California. Derek, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. You know, I'm a parent, and, you know, this guy's analogy about saying that, you know, kids should be overcharged and there's no reason for kids to be charging, and he's forgetting one thing. You know, families travel and go on vacation. So your analogy is really poor. You're telling me that I have to leave my kids home for me to travel? You know,
Not at all. But when you travel for vacation, would you call that a necessary trip? Of course it isn't a necessary trip. You could easily drive a car or take an SUV, one of the, if you've ever seen these big Winnebagos. But that's not a necessary trip to put a child on an aircraft when you could easily for a vacation, which is not a medical emergency.
It's not a necessary trip when you have to when you go on vacation and you travel with your family. So you're getting
you only have to
every year if you're telling me that I'm gonna be charged extra for my two kids to travel. I got a 2 year old.
Yes, sir.
And every time my 2 year old has an accident in diaper. Well, guess what? I got to get up and got to go to the porta potty over there and fly and have to change their diapers so to not inconvenience people. You know, a lot of people are being charged extra because they're invading my space. You know, they're in two.
Well, your child invades my space. Your child invades my space. Your child invades my space with her screaming and yelling and. Her screaming and her yelling and her bothers a lot of people. A small child, of course. And you're talking about changing a diaper. Obviously, there's the discomfort of whatever odor may come with that. There's no need to take an infant child on a vacation. What kind of vacation do you take an infant child on that she's going to remember it?
You have to get up to go to the restroom. You have to get up when you're seated at any time.
I don't scream and yell, and I don't defecate in my pants like a child would. I get up and go to the bathroom quietly.
Well, that's the same thing. So you tell me a two-year-old child doesn't do that.
Exactly. So why have them on an aircraft? And not to mention the discomfort from the pressure.
Why would the airline industry charge me extra for children to fly.
You're causing discomfort. You're causing discomfort to the passengers around you by having to listen to your kids and looking at you changing a diaper. I don't think it's what I call comfortable flying.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, but these people, they're in two seats, not in their seat. My child is controlled into my own seat.
She's not controlled. That's my point. She's not controlled. That's my point. She's yelling and screaming and defecating in a diaper so I can smell it.
Every child. 877-876-Phil.
No, just yours.
Okay, well. We're with Mr. Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. Mr. Schwinn, here's one final comment from Kevin Smith, who was removed from a Southwest Airlines flight this week. And Mr. Smith is a film director, a man of some note. That's why we're speaking of him. He's directed such films as Clerks, Small Rats, Dogma. And Mr. Smith was removed because they said he was too large, he was too fat, and he needed to either pay for an extra seat or get his, you know, fat rear end off the flight. Here he is saying that someone from Southwest Airlines should be fired.
Someone's got to go, man. I'm serious. Like, and I'm sorry. I'm not one of these people. It's like, I know it's a hard economy, and people are like, how could you wish somebody's job away? You know?
Okay, there. So we don't, you know, need to hear any more, but that's him. He wants to see someone fired.
Well, again, you're reluctant to play the balance of Mr. Smith's comments. I don't understand why you don't want to do that, but
because I find him to be dull. I get the story. He's a great film director. He's not his podcasts suck. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that here's a man who has decided that he's going to take on Southwest Airlines, and you agree with him. You agree with his stance, and you agree that that overweight people should not pay extra.
No, we can pay extra, Mr. Henry, if there is going to be a consistency here. This is a civil rights issue. Black people, the disabled, there has been this issue with the retarded, with the Sarah Palin and homosexuals and the heavy set are all people, the overweight are all people who cannot, I can't choose my life, and yet they charge more for me even though I can't change who I am. And yet they don't charge someone who brings a child on board, an infant that is going to scream during the first 8 minutes of flight, is going to scream every time it needs its diaper changed or needs to have something wiped or some food, and it's screaming and making my life very uncomfortable there.
Now, hold on, before we go to another call, overweight people can't change, you can't help being overweight?
No, I cannot, any more than a black person can.
You can't lose weight. Black people can't change their color, homosexuals can't change their orientation, a disabled person is disabled. You can't change your weight?
Mr. Henry, and we've debated this many, many times in a lot of different forms, far more challenging than this one. I don't mean any offense by that. And let me tell you what I'm saying. The fact is, I cannot lose weight. This is who I am.
You could very well lose weight.
No, I could not lose weight in any way that would assure my existence. I would lose weight. I would become depressed. There's a good chance of suicide, to be quite honest with you. So if I'm essentially a dead man at any other weight, then this is the weight I need to be.
You are a dead man because you say you would commit suicide because you're not comfortable at any other weight, but all of that is through choice.
No, it is not through choice. It's not any more of a choice for me to lose weight and become suicidal and take my own life than it is for you to take... If you forgive me, Mr. Henry, for you to take a saw and castrate yourself and then say, but I can choose to live. No, you can't.
Well, what are you talking about, man? What kind of bizarre thing? What does that mean?
It means that if you castrated yourself, wouldn't you commit suicide?
You know what? I don't answer that question. I think it's a very bizarre and very strange comparison that you just made. And I don't want to go there, all right? 877, a guy takes a saw and castrates himself.
And then decides that he's going to live? I don't think so.
All right, 877. That is a very irrelevant and bizarre comparison, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on a Phil Henry Show. We're talking about Kevin Smith and overweight people on airplanes and airliners. And Mr. Schwinn with us here is talking about the fact that, if you're going to charge overweight people more money, charge parents more money for bringing their kids on board. Here is John, and you're on the Phil Henry Show. John, with Mr. Schwinn. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I think you took a lot of the wind out of my sails, but I think this guy is pretty ridiculous. I mean, as far as I know, babies can't help, going in their diaper and crying. This guy can help being overweight, and I think it's just a matter of physics and dollars. It costs a certain amount to fly a pound of whatever you're flying over the air, and why should I have
what
to pay
extra? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That's an artificial number that the airline has come up with.
No, fuel costs so much, and it costs so much to pay the pilot.
You know what else? The baby doesn't have to fly. Why are they bringing a baby?
Because I live in Boston. If I want to take my kid to Disney World, I have to drive because you're uncomfortable?
No. I didn't say kid. I said baby, an infant baby that won't even remember. They don't even remember you, let alone Disney World.
No, but I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and so I have to leave the 1-year-old at home, or I can't take him.
A 1-year-old. What's a 1-year-old doing?
Because you're uncomfortable.
No. Wait a minute. If I make you uncomfortable, and your kid makes me uncomfortable to the point where the plane's safety is jeopardized. That's what I'm saying.
No, stop. I did not say that you made me uncomfortable. I never said that you made me uncomfortable. But the point is, you should have to pay extra for a seat because that plane uses so much fuel to fly. They have to pay the crew so much. And why should they cut the seats in half because of a few people? You said they could widen the seats. If they ride in the seats, they have to eliminate some seats. And now the cost is divided up by a smaller number, which is going to increase
Why should I have to pay that?
Because you're wrong.
You understand? Why are they charging me for another seat is all I'm asking.
Because you're too big to fit in one. Because you're too big.
If I'm too big to fit in one, then let me fit in two.
But that's what the man's saying.
Yes,
if you're not taking up...
You have to buy two.
Why? No, I bought one already, but they're making me fit in two. I don't want to fit in two.
Here's why, because if I want to send a package to California and the package weighs 5 pounds, and then if I have another one that weighs 10 pounds, I have to pay more to send the one that weighs 10 pounds. That's exactly how it is.
Now, see, Mr. Henry, this is very racist to this man because he's saying I'm freight now. I'm not a person. I'm freight.
We're human freight.
Wait, wait. How's that racist?
He's calling me.
I'm not racist.
Are you telling me that they're weighing your kid and charging you a seat for your kid by virtue of the child's weight? No. I don't think so.
I do not know that.
Well, you said it's weight. You said it's all about weight. The other thing is that, you're not making any sense. You say that I'm not making any sense. You're not making any sense. You didn't answer my question about fat people. No, I'm not. No, I'm trying to defend fat people from being harassed as we have been for many decades. People tell us we got to buy an extra seat. People tell us.
Well, then lose weight.
Then don't bring your baby on the airplane.
No, because most people don't mind babies on the airplanes. Everybody was a baby
really?
At one point.
You know what? If I were you, I would take an informal poll because I think you're wrong there. Every time we hear a kid screaming and yelling. And another thing, pilots don't like it because the most critical time is the eight minutes from takeoff until they reach their flying altitude. And during that time, you've got children crying because of the air pressure in their ears. It is very nerve-wracking for a pilot. It's nerve-wracking for a pilot to listen to a kid screaming bloody murder
in the cab with the door
while he's... It pierces through. It pierces through. The noise pierces through.
This is all very speculative, Mr. Schwinn. You don't know that.
You don't know what you're talking about. I said to you, you think that people think babies on airplanes are fantastic? I don't think so.
No, I didn't say they were fantastic. People put up with babies crying. That's a part of life. Being fat
put
is
up
not
with
a necessary
it, yeah. so
part
up,
of life.
So you can put up with my fat ass. you know.
All right, let's watch the language.
I will put up with you, Fred. I will put up with you. I'm not insulting you.
What we're trying to do is so that you don't treat fat people the way Nazis treated Jews. I don't treat you mean.
Are you kidding me? What are you making the analogy between Nazis and Jews?
That's the way these people want to treat fat people, like we're Jews, and this guy and this guy's baby's a Nazi or something.
No, I'm not saying that. I think that the AI has the right to charge you extra because you are human free. Just like
Thank you, sir. 877-876. Phil, let's go over to Art. Art, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I'm enjoying your program this evening. I'm a former airline pilot. I flew for 25 years, not only commercially, but also flew charters. And I wanted to mention one thing, and I think your caller or your guest already reiterated that the initial climb out of any airport or any field to the cruising altitude is a very critical time. And when you hear children crying, and you hear them through the cockpit door, you can hear it piercing through the door, as this gentleman said.
That was what I was trying to tell you, Phil.
All right.
It does tend to distract us, and your hands get a little sweaty, because what's happening is the 8.5 minutes on the climb out is the most critical time. When you hear a baby screaming while you're holding on to the yoke of an aircraft and trying to get that aircraft to its cruising altitude, and a baby is screaming, the mental state it puts you in is a state of, I've already lost control of the plane, because that sounds like the scream of someone that's going to die. And so you sweat, and now you're praying that you don't fly into a mountain, and you may not be near any.
Are you telling me that the crying of a baby makes you feel like you're out of control?
It does. You do feel out of control, because suddenly there's a screaming baby. Your mouth gets dry. Your head begins to swirl a little bit. I don't know if you've ever seen those television programs where the camera goes in a circle. That's when your mouth gets dry and everything's going in a circle. And all you can think of are the words that Jimmy Stewart said in the Spirit of St. Louis, which the immortal, oh, God help me.
And what is that again?
Well, you're trying to think of a prayer, and the only one that comes to your mind is, oh, God help me.
And oh, God help me what?
Are you listening to me yet?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. You're telling me a baby is crying, your mouth gets dry, things start to spin.
Things start to spin, and I go, oh, God, help me. See, Mr. Henry...
Thank you very much for your call, sir.
Oh, yeah, okay, well...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Roland.
Mr. Henry, I don't know what that gentleman was saying, but the fact is that it is true. You're going to have an awful lot of people, an awful lot of pilots are going to be disquieted by that, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 877-876-Phil, let's go to another phone call here. In Pensacola, Florida, we have Melissa. Melissa, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Roland Schwinn. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I think the gentleman that you're speaking to is an idiot. I think he just likes to hear himself talk right now. He's comparing the fact that he can't lose weight to somebody who... I'm sorry?
You don't understand what it's like to be the victim of civil rights abuses like this.
Okay, this is not civil rights. You're fat and you're upset because you're fat, and you're telling me that if you lose weight that you're going to die because you're not fat anymore. Is your fatness who you are? These companies These companies are in business to make money. If I have 100 seats and you fit in 2 seats, you're going to pay for 2 seats. Otherwise, somebody who was not as large would pay me for 2 seats. It's not our fault that you choose to eat every cheeseburger that you buy. Put the cheeseburger down, grab a salad, maybe take some stairs.
This is not racist.
Can you please look at the dictionary?
It's not really racist, Mr. Schwinn, yeah.
You're upset because you have to pay for more than one seat.
Well, like I said, this is the way the Nazis treated the Jews.
I will not accept comparison, sir, on this program. I think
The Jews were put into concentration camps.
You know what, sir? Maybe you ought to go to a concentration camp and lose a few pounds.
And then you can get some cheeseburgers. Imagine how much richer you would be if you stopped eating cheeseburgers and fit one seat in an airplane.
I'm calling B'nai B'rith. I'm calling the Anti-Defamation League.
You're going to be a fat guy calling the Anti-Defamation League and saying what? I'm Jewish?
No, I'm not Jewish.
Then you're going to call the ADL and say what? I'm a fat guy and someone said that if I was in a concentration camp, I'd lose some weight?
Yes.
Go ahead, man. Melissa.
You're not making any sense at all.
I'm making plenty of sense. First of all, as
you're not making
man,
any sense
if
because
I if I lose weight, I'm going to commit suicide.
Then I know that your blood pressure and your cholesterol are an issue. So maybe the airline is doing you a favor by telling you you have to pay more, which could be motivation for you to lose some weight. So you can be so much richer if you put the cheeseburgers down and be able to sit in 1 seat. Imagine how much money you could save. Imagine that. And then you could start talking about civil rights and keep talking about how rich you are.
First of all, young lady, the only thing that's affecting my blood pressure right now is the fact that you won't allow me to say what I want to say.
You're saying that you're Jewish, and you want to go to a concentration camp, that you have one leg, you cannot compare yourself to somebody who cannot grow another leg. Somebody who has their leg amputated and is disabled cannot grow another leg. You can lose weight. You may not be able to lose a dramatic amount of weight, but you can lose weight. You need to
catch
your breath. Don't take a walk around on your cell phone while you're on the phone, lose some weight, and sit into a smaller seat. I am not being rude to people who are overweight. It's ridiculous that you're saying that you cannot lose weight. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
I can't catch my breath because this bitch won't.
Will you watch that bitch stuff? Melissa, thank you very much for your I know he used the B word. I'm so sorry. 877-876 Phil, and I'm listening to this fat guy breathing into the phone. 877-876 Phil. We'll be back with Mr. Roland Schwinn from Americans Plus. Should Kevin Smith have been humiliated by being put off of that Southwest American Southwest Airlines flight, and his feeling is no, he should not have. In fact, people with children should be paying extra because children are a safety issue. 877-876 Phil. We'll be back with Mr. Schwinn in a moment. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Okay. 877-876 Phil, welcome back to our program. With me is Mr. Roland Schwinn from the organization Americans Plus, an organization, as you call him, Mr. Schwinn, of people who are heavy set, overweight, or even morbidly obese, looking to be treated as equals. Now, you sent something to another caller here a moment ago about how you feel this is a civil rights issue, that you cannot lose weight without sacrificing your life.
The proof, Mr. Henry, is quite simply, as I said.
No, I don't want to go into the whole analogy you used about, well, if you took a saw and you castrated yourself. Let's say, for instance, that what you're saying is right. You are asking for an entire airline industry to reconfigure its aircraft so that heavy people will be accommodated.
And without question, and this has been done many times, the disabilities. We have, right now, today I was reading a story about Sarah Palin's child or Sarah Palin's grandchild, I forget who it is, and the child is being talked about, and everyone feels sorry for the kid, and that child will grow up, he'll have a toilet to tire off the ground, he'll have a ramp, he'll have letters written out extra big, but so he'll have everything smooth for him. The way will be smooth. But for people who are size challenged, if you will, we have to listen to a baby screaming, and that parent doesn't pay extra, but we are humiliated by being strapped into two seats at double the cost. No. This will not stand. This will not stand.
877-876 Phil.
Well, your silence there was almost you almost seemed bemused, or you're mocking me.
No, sir, you're you have a floral way, shall we say, of communicating yourself. Here is Jim on the Phil Henry Show with Roland Schwinn. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I've called the airlines, and once a child reaches the age of two, they have to have their own seat. So I'm assuming that once a child is too large to fit comfortably and not take up too much space while sitting on their parents' lap, they have to have their own seat. So I feel that if a person is large enough where they're spilling over onto my seat, they should have to pay for two seats. It's the same principle. When my child is too big to sit on my lap and occupy one space, I have to pay for another. It's as simple as that.
Yes,
as
right.
As far as the children
Your child is loud. Loud and screaming and everything.
Okay, wait, ready? Hold on. Let me say this? All right, go, look at the movies and every cliche. All right, I'm stuck in between two fat people on the plane, or I hear the baby crying. Well, guess what? If I'm stuck in between two large people and they're both sleeping, there's nothing I can do about it. Guess what? If the baby's crying, I throw in my headphones, and now I don't hear the baby anymore. It's as simple as that.
You don't hear the baby. You don't hear the baby, but the pilot does, and that endangers the safety.
I don't want to hear that. Guess what? The pilot's a professional.
Come on, man.
The pilot
Come on.
Is professional. He should be able to deal with
it. The pilot hears a baby screaming, and the next thing you're going to see out your window is just mountain and canyon going by at a very rapid clip.
Phil Henry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I want to tell you that I've killed Manuel and his 12 disciples. He ain't nothing on me.
Are you blonde?
No, but I love it.
The Zionists say, look, we got a chance.
They were just being put to bed, and my assistant Rick
informed. To those fat, lazy.
Thank you, Brad.
Whoa! World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night to try to bring you to a place where other talk shows cannot take you, and that's exactly what we do. And welcome to our show this evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I think I got to crank up the, what do you call it? I got to crank up the headphone level or something, bud.
You know, you can mess around and level and everything. Get that beer.
Well, if you're watching on our video cast, you're looking at our HD video cast at philhenryshow.com. You see, we got Buddy Bear back here with our Dynapep, and we have Ted the Bear with bells. We call him Ted Bell the Bear. And I think they've been screwing around with the headphone levels, so I can't hear anything. We are going to be talking tonight briefly about, I think, a very interesting story. The TSA blew it, quote-unquote. They allowed box cutters to get on a jet at JFK. Now, it wasn't anything other than a simple, innocent mistake by a man who works at a factory. But nonetheless, this got by the TSA. We'll have Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk with us about that. And then Steve Jobs unveils Apple's iPad 2. And Dr. Ron Turner, who's an educator and a man that uses quite a bit of this kind of technology, is going to join us and talk about that. The number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're very happy to be along with you here this evening. And in our affiliate spotlight in Norfolk, Virginia, WTAR, 850 AM. And in Tupelo, Mississippi, the home of Mose Allison, as well as Elvis Presley, WKMQ, 1060 AM, and PhilHenryShow.com. And thank you very much, Leonard Cohen. Dr. Ron Turner is joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Dr. Turner, thanks for being with us. Going to talk about Apple, huh?
Well, it's the... is the equipment that I use, and it's the technology that a lot of people are using, I guess.
Well, the Apple iPad 2, is this at the center of what your complaint was?
Well, at the center of my complaint is the fact that I had just purchased the Apple iPad 1, and they've announced now that they have an Apple iPad 2 coming out, which is going to be next month. And that means that no sooner have I purchased Apple iPad 1, but Apple has come out with another piece of equipment, Apple II. Now, Apple has been doing this since, frankly, they've been in business. They have constantly rolling out pieces of technology, bits of equipment, machines, phones, and so forth, iPads, and iPods, and as they roll these out, there is a rush to purchase them. And there is a very understandable excitement on the part of Apple consumers. Those of us who purchased Apple equipment, Phil, are a very loyal group, but I cannot afford, and I don't know too many people that can afford, to continue to keep up with the equipment that is being and the products and the technology that's being rolled out by Apple.
All right, you can't afford to keep up with it, so why do you have to? You have...
Why do I have to? Because it's an Apple product, and to explain it to you, maybe I explain it a little bit better. It's an Apple product, and so that means that I'm an Apple consumer, I'm an Apple customer, I am very loyal. Those of us who use Apple products are very loyal to the company. And I believe the company takes advantage of that by rolling equipment and rolling pieces of product and rolling merchandise out constantly, taking advantage of that loyalty so that they always have these revenue streams.
Well, there's nothing. So my understanding was that you want to buy this Apple iPad 2. It's something that's going to be difficult for you to afford, and you are going to pass the expense off to your students?
Yes. What I did, Phil, I contacted the administration at the University of Denver, where I'm teaching an environmental sciences class. And I talked to Dr. Humphrey, who's a liaison, and I told him that I wanted to buy this Apple iPad 2. He said, "You just purchased the iPad." I said, "But there's a new one." And I said, "Can we pass a fee on to my students?" And he said, "Let me get back to you." And he did. And he said, "Yes." And so I was very excited that the students could help in shouldering the cost of this. It enhances my ability to, to teach the class. And that's what I told the class. Now, the problem was when we had students getting up and walking out, and that's when I blocked the door.
Because you told the students that you wanted them to pay for your iPad, right?
Well, I've got to go back. I went to the administration first.
All right, you got the administration's permission to charge the students a fee so you can buy a new iPad.
That is correct, yes.
But the iPad that you're buying, and this is just my understanding, the iPad that you're buying was not, well, I was going to say it's not necessary?
No, that is the wrong way of putting it. Yes, it's necessary because it's an enhancement on the iPad that I already have.
And I understand that it's an enhancement. Was it absolutely necessary to buy this new upgraded version of iPad?
Yes, it was absolutely necessary. I told you, as Apple consumers, and Phil, you could talk to anybody. You could talk to children. You could talk to adults. Apple consumers are loyal. We have a relationship with the company. We have a relationship with the product. They have Apple stores, which are the very best customer service centers you will find anywhere.
And I've heard they're pretty good.
No, not pretty good. They are the best customer service centers anywhere. And as an Apple customer, I am loyal. And when they announced they were coming out with the iPad 2, and you're following me, right?
Yeah, I'm understanding. When they announced they came out with iPad 2, you said you wanted it.
Yes, I wanted it. I was going to buy it. But I could not afford it, and that's when I went to the administration.
All right. You went to the administration and asked that the cost of this be passed along to the students by a fee of some kind. And the administration went along with that. They announced the fee. How did they announce the fee?
Well, I announced the fee initially in front of my class, and that's when we had this woman, Markham, and one or two other students attempt to walk out of the class. And I said to them, "I am still delivering a lecture here. Where are you going?" And they kept walking, and that's when I went back. It was a back entrance, an exit from the lecture hall, And that's when I went back and blocked the exit.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here to Dr. Ron Tarner about the Apple iPad 2 that you want to buy and cannot afford it, so you pass the fee along to your class. Now, these are college students.
That is absolutely correct, yes.
All right, and so we're not talking about kids.
Well, we're talking about adults that can make this decision on their own. They don't have to check with a parent. They don't have to necessarily go home to a guardian. These are adults, and I told these adults, I said, this is environmental science class. I'm an Apple customer. Apple customers are very loyal, and I have an iPhone. Phil, I understand you have an iPhone.
I do have an iPhone.
And how do you like that?
I like the iPhone a lot. I think it's a terrific piece it's a wonderful bit of technology. But I am not so loyal to Apple that when they come out with a new version of it, you know, I have to buy it.
Well, you're making a mistake because you're making a very big mistake. You still have the iPhone you bought last year?
Yes.
Well, my question would be logically, why are you doing that? Why are you throwing money away like that? You see, when Apple comes out with a new product, it's always an enhancement. It's always better than the previous product. That's when I went to the administration. I said, I've got to have this new iPad 2. Now, they understood because they said, yes, let's pass the fee along.
All right. So you announced that the students in your class were going to be absorbing the cost of your Apple iPad 2.
You say your Apple iPad 2. I'm a professor teaching a class, enhancing my ability to teach this class. And pardon me, Phil, I've got a little bit of a cold.
That's all right.
Enhancing my ability to teach this class enables me to teach the class better. And so passing the cost along to the students only makes sense. And
why did you not pay for it yourself?
Boy, I'm sorry. I thought you were listening to me.
I am listening to you, Doctor. Why did you not?
Because I don't want to shoulder that cost right now.
And why should your students?
I find that question a little challenging, Phil.
Well, no, I'm not trying to be.
No, I find it a little bit rude.
Well, no, I'm sorry, Dr. Turner. Just why the students?
Why the students? Because I'm their professor. I am giving them the benefit of my knowledge. And when I say to them, I need a new iPad 2, I would appreciate it if they would pay the fee and not make it into a federal case, which is exactly what this woman did.
All right, you went to the back of the classroom and blocked the exit of three students who got up to walk out of your classroom, correct?
That is correct, yes. I did not in any way, shape, or form touch anyone inappropriately.
All right, this young lady, Melissa Markham, said as she tried to exit and there were two or three other students, you pushed, putting your hand on one of her breasts.
That is a lie, and I will not deny that I went to the back of the lecture hall, yes. And I went back there to tell them to take their seat. I wasn't finished talking. And
why are they not allowed to get up and walk out of the lecture hall?
Because I was still talking about the fee, and I am like any other professor. I'm like any other person, Phil, who does public speaking. I don't like it when people get up and walk out on me when I'm still talking. I'm sure you don't either. I don't allow it.
And do you get up and walk to the back of lecture halls and block their exit?
I have not had to until this most recent event. And I'll tell you something else. It's the attitude you're expressing right now which has caused this problem. Because a few of the students said, why should we have to pay for this? And I say to them, because you're getting the benefit of my experience. I'm looking at them, you know.
I'm asking questions. It sounds to me, I'm asking questions like the questions that your students have been asking, Professor, and I think
by the way, I'm a doctor. I'm not a professor.
Forgive me. I'm sorry, Dr. Tarner. And I think that there are questions that need to be answered. Why are you forcing them to pay for this iPad 2?
I'm not forcing anyone to pay for anything.
And yet you're if you're not forcing them, you're keeping them in the classroom, right?
Yes, I told them to sit down and to keep their mouths shut while I was finishing my comments about the fee they were going to be charged. Yes.
All right, 877-876-7445. If you're listening to this broadcast and it strikes you as curious as it does me, why do the students at University of Denver in this environmental sciences class taught by Dr. Ronald Turner, why do they have to pay for his iPad 2 just because he's a loyal Apple customer and he doesn't quite have the money right now? 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show, and Dr. Ron Turner is on the line with us from the University of Denver. This Apple iPad 2, I understand, Dr. Turner, people are very excited about their Apple products, but you've insisted on this, and you've got your students paying for it.
Phil, let me just tell you a few things here about this piece of this product. The accessories included, there's a 39, there's an HDMI adapter that provides a mirrored video output up to 1080, which I think you've got on your and I'm looking at your video cast, which also, of course, is something else. You have a video cast. I'm looking at your high definition video cast. I'm teaching a class at the University of Denver, and I am working with a year-old piece of technology. What's wrong with this picture?
I don't understand.
You don't understand. You do a talk show to the extent that it benefits society, one can debate. I am a teacher. I'm a professor at a university. You've got high-definition video. I've got an antiquated piece of machinery, an iPad, one, that's a joke, and anyone who's an Apple customer and sees me with it, it has to stifle a laugh. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, I would say that I guess that my radio broadcast is funded or somehow is monetized better. I don't know, but it sounds to me...
You said it right there.
Well, but it sounds to me like you've got something going there. If you can charge your students, which is what you said you're going to do, if you can charge your students to pay for your iPad 2. Here is Matt in Union,
yep,
North Carolina. Matt, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Turner. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I'm from Union, New Jersey, actually.
I'm sorry.
Basically, I have no money. I can't believe that this doctor is asking for his students to actually pay for an iPad, because right now I can barely even pay the power bill. I mean, I just had enough for the books. And
right.
I mean,
well,
and also, if I'm paying for college and I'm paying for that class, if I want to leave, I have every liberty, I have every right to walk out if I want to. And also, it's a fire hazard, locking the doors on a lecture hall.
Here's the comment that I would make. I think that is very convenient. You know as well as I do that there are some professors that you would dare walk out on.
The fact is that you locking the doors, you took away that right.
I pushed her back in, and because she decided that she needed a little more leverage with the administration, she said that I pushed her breast, and I never touched her breast. If I did, it was in pushing her back.
Well, first of all, hold on for a minute. What do you mean pushed her back in?
What is she doing? You're asking me a question?
Yeah, well, you say that you pushed this woman and two other students back into the lecture hall?
Yes, I did.
Why?
I thought I made it clear. She's walking out while I'm talking.
But you're a grown-up. You're a doctor. I mean, come on. You're a grown-up.
Hold on. I'm a grown-up. She's a grown-up, too. She's a 19-year-old student at a university.
She has every right to leave that classroom if she wanted to. She's paying for that class. She has every right to leave.
She's not paying for the class. When I said that I wanted them to pay an extra fee for my iPad...
That's an extra fee. That's not...
That was part of... The two of you guys are splitting hairs.
No, we're not. We're saying the class costs a certain amount of money, right?
Matt, you're a college student. Is that correct? Would you explain to Mr. Henry how it works?
I have a set budget. I mean, I have a budget for books. Yeah. I have just enough, basically just enough to get by. And right now I'm even having trouble paying my power bill and keeping the power on, let alone buy an iPad.
Well, maybe, you know, college isn't for you. I don't teach where you, where do you go to school? I'm not teaching there. But I would say that if there was a, where is it?
Well, right now I'm in New Jersey, but I go to, I'm getting my master's at St. Joe's in Philadelphia.
Well, I would say that if you have a professor there that wants you to buy him an iPad,
that's the thing. Nobody in the right mind would ever ask a student to spend that. These students don't have that money for that extra expense.
You don't. Oh, they don't have the money. Many of them are getting money from home. I got to tell you something.
That's the thing. A lot of students don't have that money.
Yeah, I hear you talking, Dr. Turner. Here, you're arguing with a guy. You know,
he's arguing with me. And when I hear students say that they don't have the money, I almost want to get physically ill all over my suit. Because I know that they're getting money from home.
My dad lost his job. He's just about to get foreclosed on. So yeah, I'm going to ask my dad for an iPod. iPad. Yeah, okay.
Your father is getting foreclosed on, and he's going to lose his home, did you say?
No, I said that they're foreclosing on the house. Because right now, yes. I'm really just struggling to pay, to pay the tuition at my school right now.
Well, why don't you give that money to your father so he's not going to be living in a dumpster? See, that's I know why you're. In other words, that question there is just as illogical, isn't it? As why did you lock the doors? Of course you have to go to school, and of course I've got to lock those doors.
We didn't establish that. 877-876-7445. Dr. Ron Turner on why he is making his students pay an extra fee so that he can have an iPad or a new iPad too. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-877.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're watching our HD video cast on Phil TV tonight at philhenryshow.com, you'll see that we're sitting in our El Pacifico sewer tonight. We're right in front of the...
I was going to ask you, Phil, what those doors are that are sitting there behind you.
That's a sewer. That's Jason Smith, one of our listeners, made up a bunch of stills. I want to get back, though, Dr. Turner, to what we're talking about here, which is you purchasing an iPad 2 by charging your students fees in your environmental sciences class. Now, you did not allow these students to exit. You had locked the back door, and you claim that you don't have enough money, that you cannot afford an iPad 2, which the price starts at $500.
Please don't lecture me, Phil. I would rather that you not lecture me at all, but please don't lecture me on price. Now, I heard what you said during the break about your high school teacher, Dr. Ehrig, or Mr. Ehrig, who worked at the sanitation company. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. I had a history teacher in high school who took a second job working as a garbage man.
All right. I would never degrade myself. I'm amazed at teachers that would do that. I would never allow any school so heartless as to pay a fee that is not livable. I wouldn't allow them the satisfaction of seeing me clinging to the back of a garbage truck on a Wednesday morning. My wife went to work as a waitress at Baker Square because she knew what my philosophy was, and she supports it. So my wife went to work graveyard shift at a Baker Square. And there was a time where we lived on tip money.
You let your wife go to work at Baker Square as a third shift waitress, but you wouldn't work as a garbage man.
I'm an environmental sciences professor, and my students
are the ones that benefit from that, and that's why they're paid for the iPad.
All right. 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Vicki. She is in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Vicki, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My list just gets longer about this ignorance I keep hearing come out of Dr. Turner's mouth. I'm a professor as well, Dr. Turner, and I've been
teaching. How are you? Yes. Well, you
I've been teaching
what I'm talking about, right?
Excuse me?
You understand, then, what I'm speaking about.
I don't agree with it or understand it. I think it's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard of. I've been teaching at the collegiate level for more than 13 years, sir, at public and private universities, and I've never heard of a person doing what you've done or attempted to do. That includes trying to pass on costs for a personal item to your students, one, and then number two, blocking the exits so the students can't leave when they very well want to, and then number three, physically trying to keep students from leaving. Never. That's not acceptable or professional or ethical.
May I ask you what your level of erudition? Did you say that you have a doctorate or
I do. I do.
That you know that as we are giving our very guts and excuse the use of the term, but as we are literally, as they say in sports, leaving it all out there on the field, and someone gets up like this Melissa Markham, who's the student that's brought the complaint, who thinks that she's a cover girl for 17 magazine, and she's walking out swinging her rear end this way and that, and I just got to the point where I will not have that, and I went back and I said.
And you push the girl, and she's now saying.
Well, I think you've got some personal issues, and that's displayed in your behavior.
What? No. Excuse me.
I think you have
some
personal issues, and it's displayed in your behavior. I think maybe you need some conflict resolution training.
Why do you?
Or maybe you. Or maybe you should have stayed in the top of class and continue to lecture those who didn't want to listen to it. I have a daughter who's in college, and if she ever sat through something like what you try to put those students through, I would hope that she would walk out too. And call me, who is a tuition-paying parent, so I can deal with that adult to adult, because what you did was inappropriate. I'm talking about collegially and...
Let's talk about professors. Let's talk about let's talk collegiately here for a moment. An Apple iPad 2. You know what I'm talking about.
This is not about Apple.
I'm an Apple.
This is not about
I'm an
Apple.
Apple customer. Yes,
you can sit here
Apple.
And
are
say
you,
that you ride... I know professors who ride a bike to work because they choose to. So if they decided they wanted a car...
I wouldn't degrade myself.
They cannot pass that expense on to students. You can't do that.
There's a recession going on,
Dr. Turner.
I understand.
You work at a public university, from what I've heard so far on the show, that is supported by taxpayer dollars. Your students pay tuition, which also helps pay for your salary. So I've heard you make this comment about, you know, you have the whole show. If you want to hear what college has to say,
right? Let me hear what
the lady's
saying here.
A little while, that'd be great. I'm listening to you.
The whole to the taxpayer.
Yeah, let our caller Vicki say what she has to say.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. We are collegians speaking to each other, and so I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't talk.
Well, that's not going to happen. I'm the host of the show.
Well, are we not? Am I? Okay.
Sometimes you wonder why you're even talking about certain things. You know what I mean?
Still, I'm just asking you, why can't I simply ask you, are you an Apple customer? That's all I wanted to know.
Because it's irrelevant. It's not the point. The point is you restrict the students from leaving when they have the free will to do so. They don't need a bathroom pass. These are not kindergartners.
That was a yes.
These are adult learners. You physically try to keep a student from leaving, which when you put your hands on another student, that can be considered assault. You try to pass on expenses for a personal item that is not required for you to do your job. That's unethical. It's a recession. You're talking about you have a computer for a year that's antiquated. I've had the same desktop for 4 years at my university. My laptop I paid for personally because I like to use it in my classroom. I paid for that. I would never consider trying to pass it on to my students. Well, then you have another personal issue. Then that's your preference. That's not a requirement.
So all of a sudden,
that's not a requirement.
An Apple computer is a mental. Is that it? I'm mentally ill because I like Apple.
No, you're not mentally ill, doctor.
Once again, I'm speaking to a collegiate professor here, and you're jumping. I know it's your show, Mr. Hendry.
All right. So why am I not allowed to say something?
Because I think we're talking at a level that's a little bit higher than what you're.
I don't think that we are. You've not hurt me at all. flash any credentials. You've asked about that, but it's really even irrelevant on this conversation because I can speak as a parent or a taxpayer and have the common sense to say that what you did was inappropriate. So, yes, I have a doctorate, and yes, people refer to me as Dr. Armstrong, but tonight at 2:41 in the morning when I'm traveling to Charlotte, it's irrelevant what degree I have. I'm a person who can see that this was crazy.
Apple has caused me a totalitarian effect in advertising. If you understand, Apple...
Well, then you need to handle that on a personal level. You should write Apple as a consumer of their products.
What are you
concerned about?
Exactly.
What they do and how you
call
feel like you've been had.
Yeah.
You don't pass that along to students.
It is a totalitarian system that they have us locked into, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, Vicki, I appreciate very much.
Wait, hold on for a minute. Do you understand what I'm saying, Vicki? That the totalitarianism of it is that they produce these products, and mentally, I have to go back and keep buying them.
You don't really have to. I'm sorry. You don't have to. That can apply to a number of products, whether that's software or computers or cell phones or printers. And if I could, one more thing. If I could share one more thing, since you're talking about expenses and being able to do your job. You're whining about an Apple computer, too. Let me explain to you that. Are you listening?
Yes, I am. I'm simply correcting you. I'm correcting you. I didn't whine.
You've been spending 40 minutes talking about it.
Excuse me, but I'm not talking to you.
Okay. I don't know how you would feel if you were at a university where funds were so low and budget cuts were so strong that you actually had printers removed from offices. You had a centralized printer for one floor, shared amongst about 20 faculty members. So to save time and to be able to do your job more efficiently, I went and bought a printer. And I bought color paper because I like to have it, so that I think it makes the class more interesting. And I buy.
All right, Vicki, we
got to
move on. Vicki, thank you, Vicki. That's Phil. We have to move on, but I appreciate very much you sharing that experience. And I'm so sorry to hear that the schools are in that kind of distress. Obviously, we know that.
You know, you butted in, Phil, and I like you, Phil, but you kept butting in as I was attempting to speak to a fellow collegian.
You really like that word, collegian.
Well, you don't like it because you ain't one. And I will say this. I got stripped, too. I got an iPad, too, stripped away from my life. As my life goes, so do Apple products. And when I can't buy an Apple product, I've had it stripped from me. I've had it pulled away from me. And the students that I ask to contribute money to turn around and say that I squeeze someone's breast. She'd like it if I touched her breast. She wants it. She'd love it. But I didn't do that.
And the comment you made, by the way, that you are being manipulated by Apple, a totalitarian effect in terms of their advertising, forcing you to purchase their products, I thought was a little bizarre. Here's Peter in San Francisco. Peter, go ahead.
In what way was it bizarre?
We can talk about it later. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, you know, this guy, I've owned an Apple for 4 years, and I'm an avid Apple fan. I've got an iPod.
Perfect.
I've got a 4-year-old MacBook Pro, and I can do everything that anybody has a most recent MacBook Pro today. I can do Microsoft Word. I can do Excel. I can do Skype. I can do email. I can do all the things that I need to do that the most recent MacBook Pro is out. This guy's just taking advantage of the system, and he's taking advantage of the students, and he's a disgrace to the institution.
Kind of a geek. Well, if you're a geek, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, that you're a geek, you understand it. I don't understand these things to the extent that you do, where you could wire computers together and get them to talk to each other. I need this machine because it's the latest, and I've got to have it. I've just got to have it.
Yeah, but there's no reason for you to have it because, as the lady said before, you don't have to have the latest system. Your system is only one year old. There are people that are using and teaching their classes with 3, 4, and 5-year-old systems. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to say that your car is a 2007 and you can't get to work, so you're going to have your students pay for a new car. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I have not asked for a car. I've asked for a lousy iPad 2 because the Apple product, as you know, is it is I, why do you buy Apple? That's the real question. You buy Apple because you want to have the Apple product. Now here comes a new piece of equipment, and I ask my students out of common courtesy to pay for it, and they're getting up and walking out on me?
It's a good product, and it's such a good product that you don't need to have the latest version. I've had an Apple for 4 years, and my system never crashes. It's a stable system. It's a good system, and you have the same thing.
What do you do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm in business development.
All right, so you're not teaching kids, your students, who are sitting there staring at you every day, waiting for you to entertain them in every bit as exciting a manner as American Idol. So you have to think of things and do things and keep them. And she gets up and tries to leave. I drew the line at that. I went back and I pushed all three of them back into the class. And
by the way, was there any ramification?
What do you mean?
Was there any repercussion of you pushing this student?
Well, she went to the administration. I told them that nobody walks out of one of my lectures. No way. No way.
All right. Thanks very much for your call, sir. Thanks, Peter. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner from the University of Denver about his need for an Apple iPad 2. He's got to have it. He won't take no for an answer. And that's why he passed the cost on to his students. And the students got up to walk out of his class when they heard they were getting an extra fee. And he went back and pushed them back in the class, touching a girl's breast. I mean, what? This cat's got more problems than just not having an iPad, too. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Dr. Ron Tarner with us. You were saying that the iPad 2 is going to help you finish a paper on Dr. Stephen Hawking, right?
That is correct, yes. If you want me to talk about that.
I just want a very brief synopsis of that because you said that you are, it's some sort of an expose.
You know, the iPad 2 that I wanted my students to pay for, yes, would be a part of an expose on Stephen Hawking, who is a bigot, who is a sexist, and he gains more sympathy from people because he happens to be in a wheelchair, and you know, the things he can do in that wheelchair, and I told you, and you laughed at me, that I felt he had some kind of a sponsorship deal with HoverRound or one of those companies. Now, he has, to put it as crudely as I can, Phil, but as truthfully as I can, he gets more you-know-what than a rental car. The van has
All right, so you've got a professional jealousy of Stephen Hawking.
No, it is not a professional jealousy. The jokes that he wrote for a professional seminar were all anti-Semitic jokes, anti-Polish jokes about Native Americans, jokes about Swedes. He has more, and so I was going to finish this paper with the iPad 2.
That has nothing to do, though, with the class you teach. The class you teach, you're charging the students to help you buy that iPad 2. Here is, I think that's John in Irvine, California. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Stephen Hawking. Dr. Ron Tarner.
Yeah, don't call me Stephen Hawking.
What's the name of the school that he teaches at? What's the name of the school that you teach at?
The University of Denver.
University of Denver. So that's a public school, correct?
That is correct.
And you're on the level, right? This isn't, because on the first 5 or 10 minutes when I was listening on the radio, I was laughing. I thought it was a comedy routine. You're serious,
what
right?
About
this really
what about
happened,
it, Dr.
right?
Tarner?
You know, I think that, I'm going to answer your question. I think my time is just about up on this show. When you have people calling in and they think that this is funny, that I have to take a second job or my wife has to take a second job because we don't pay teachers anymore.
Well, you're talking about, I don't blame the gentleman. You're talking about pushing a woman's breast and
I never touched that woman.
All right, but you're also saying Apple, you know, the control of your mind.
Anybody that knows anything about advertising, and more importantly, anyone that knows anything about Apple products, know that Apple consumers purchase that product over and over again, as I do. But I don't find anything funny about having to take a second job working for a garbage company, hanging off the back of a garbage truck with a picking cans up off the street, or my wife working a second shift, at a coffee shop.
Let's let the gentleman go ahead, sir.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing. It's not any less dignified to make an honest day's wage, you know, working on off of a garbage truck. Actually, I would have a lot more respect for the guy that's actually making a living on a garbage truck than I would for you by any means, because, I mean, this just speaks volumes for what's going on in our public educational system.
Oh, absolutely.
What we need to do, can I say something real quick? This is an excellent point. Right now, when people go, right now, can I speak for a second?
Let the gentleman speak, okay?
Certainly.
When people go to a public institution at this point in time...
All right, I'm going to put him on hold because he won't shut up.
We're not getting...
Okay.
Go ahead.
When people go to a public institution, I live in California, but any state across the United States is the same way. It's $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. It's, you know, and the state kicks in $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 for every student of our tax money to help, you know, pay for you to go to that school. Well, what they should do instead is we as taxpayers should demand that $7,000 or $8,000 or $9,000, if somebody qualifies to go to school, that any institution in that state, you know, that the state says is, you know, up to snuff or whatever. I don't care whether the public schools get bigger or whether the private schools get bigger, but I want competition and I want there to be choice. I want there to be market forces, and not only in our higher education, but also in our
universities.
I just have one last thing to say. The same thing needs to happen in our... Can I finish?
If you could finish today.
You had a whole hour, doctor, okay?
The same thing needs to happen in our K-12. We need to be able in California...
Would you not do that, Dr. Turner?
In California... We spend $10,000 per student on average. Down in the L.A. Unified School District, we can spend $25,000 per student. We need to take that, for every parent that has a child, to give that parent a voucher for $10,000 per child and let them spend that voucher wherever they choose. And I don't care whether the public schools get bigger or the private schools get bigger, but we need to eliminate people like you from the system entirely.
Of course. You want to eliminate someone who knows how to teach. Well, thank you very much. This is exactly what you have done, and I hope you're very, very happy. Look at it.
Phil Hendry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You want to bring Gaddafi before the international...
Just being put to bed, and my assistant Rick...
Holding on literally by the tips of my fingers.
I'm saddened, and I am outraged by this attack.
Take your sticky paws off.
I like Wiener.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The video cast on PhilHendryShow.com in high definition video, big screen, all that. Man, it's the only radio, the only radio show in the world that's interesting to watch as well as listen to, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We have climbed many a mountain. We have swum many a river. We have,
Yeah, like that one song in that movie, Climb Every River, or however it goes.
You don't climb a river. You mean Man from La Mancha? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Climb every mountain, swim every river.
Yeah. What did I say?
Climb every river and swim every mountain. What the hell are you talking about, man? Anyway, this is we've been around is the whole point I'm trying to say, and we're very happy to be with you tonight. If you're looking at our high-definition video cast this evening, you're looking at a series of stills, background stills, that were produced for us by Jason Smith, one of our very artistic listeners. And Jason is nuts because he's got, like, sewer systems. What do you see there, Robert?
Man, they got one here that looks like alien, you know, like alien lamb. Yeah, this looks like where the alien lives.
Yeah, so we got one here of the alien's crib. And then the next one, well, that looks like...
That looks like a porn studio.
Yeah, that looks like a studio where they shoot porn. So it's great, Jason. Thanks very much, man. I'm kidding. No, we love it. And, of course, you can access this at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, online at philhenryshow.com. And pick up our merchandise, too, at our website. We've got our Best Of CDs as well as the Phil Henry Show shot glass. You get a BSP, get your shot glass, join us for a video cast, and it's a beautiful thing. And this is only like our third, so, you know...
Yeah, I figured out when you did that commercial.
Well, I did a little teeny commercial for the video cast of me pitching the website, but I don't know what happened there, man. It was weird because everybody could hear the audio except for me. We'll find out. All right, I'm increasingly interested, and not for any reason other than it's become like it's a soap opera. It's you know, part of the TV world. It's the Wisconsin 14, and it's that, and it's Charlie Sheen. Those are the two things that are keeping me alive. Everything else bores me to death.
They didn't do much else on the news, man.
Everything else bores me to tears, except for the Wisconsin story and Charlie Sheen. First off, Wisconsin. The 14 Wisconsin state senators who left the state 2 weeks ago will now face fines of $100 for each day they miss if they miss two or more days. Good luck enforcing that. Good luck not having that go all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of this here America. What do you think about that, huh?
How come? Yeah, they can do that.
They can pass any law they want. They also have a law in the state of Wisconsin which says you cannot convene a quorum unless you have one member of the minority party. They haven't done it. And they have one of the most balled up legal systems I've ever heard of in my life. This is an absolute, utter fiasco. It's an absolute, utter fiasco. And this is not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. The laws... The bylaws, the constitution of the state of Wisconsin is jive-ass. And I can only hope and pray that somebody's picked up a cue here. All 49 other states, are you guys looking into your constitutions in case the same thing happens?
Oh, man, you know, if this goes on all over, what happens if everybody tried to do this?
If everybody tries to do this after Wisconsin, then everybody needs their head examined. Everyone belongs in a mental hospital because they see it coming. All you got to do is take a look at Wisconsin and go, I think we better bust out the state constitution, make sure this crap can't happen to us. They can't get those guys back in for love or money, man.
Yeah, they can't. Sure, they're going to fine them.
Big deal. Hey, man, we're going to fine you $100 a day. Fine, go ahead, fine me. I'm going to take you to court anyway. I'm taking the whole thing to court. I'm taking the governor to court. I'm taking the whole process to court. Go ahead and fine me. They don't care that they're being fined. You got 14 state Democrats in Wisconsin that believe they have the moral high ground, and they are being backed up by a significant number of protesters there in the Capitol. And if fat-ass is to be believed, because, you know, every now and again I follow Michael Moore's tweets.
I told you not to follow that guy, man.
Well, I'm following his tweets, and if he's to be believed, he made the statement the other day on Twitter that the state police are backing him up. That's the Wisconsin Highway Patrol is backing these protesters up. So these 14 Democrats have the moral high road in saying that we are protecting workers' rights and the public, the popular vote be damned. Republicans remaining in the Senate approved the daily fine on Wednesday morning with none of the Democrats present. Now, how the hell are you able to approve that and not anything else?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. But
well, they can't, man. They can't. The Democrats left Wisconsin in order to delay indefinitely a Republican-backed bill taking away collective bargaining rights from public employees. Why do they keep saying that? They're taking away certain collective bargaining rights, and I understand that it probably makes me a fascist for, you know, qualifying it that way, you know.
What do you mean a fascist, like a right-winger?
Yeah, pretty much. The furthest right of the right. It probably makes me a fascist for saying, well, you know, they. I hate to point out what it obviously has been reported, but that's what I'm doing. Anyway, Republicans need a single Democrat to cross party lines and rejoin the 33-member legislature to meet the quorum of 20 lawmakers required in a vote on the controversial budget repair bill. Only 17 lawmakers are required for most other issues, but 20 lawmakers are required in a vote on the controversial budget repair bill. Only 17 lawmakers are required for other issues. Oh, so fining the Democrats. All right. The resolution passed on Wednesday also requires the missing Democrats to reimburse the Senate for costs. Republicans have already withheld the checks of missing Democrats from direct deposit and denied access to copying machines for the staff. Now, that's something that might get them in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not paying them.
I mean, yeah, holding back their paychecks. But I even that, you know, if they are organized enough, they're going to have people supporting them and obviously making available to them funds or whatever else resources that they need. According to a television station WTMJ's Mick Trevi, there are punishments incorporated into the resolution which would allow for the removal of offices from senators to downsize their offices, to take away spending capabilities. It's a lot of horse crap, just a lot of horse dung. The two-day clock would not begin until Thursday, and if senators did not return 2 days later, the fines begin. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I do know that, I do know this. The governor was elected. The majority of Republicans were elected. I get it that you guys want to make a statement. I think you've made your statement. But to actually decide, even though the popular vote was thus and so, even though it was that was the case, we're going to interrupt the democratic process. That's what's happening.
Well, wait a minute, man. They got the right to protest and everything.
They have the right to protest, and apparently, according to the Wisconsin Constitution, they also have the right to stop the business of the state. They have the right to stop the democratic process. So, to me, you know, I would say I made my point. But after all, what's right is right, and I think that there's a vote before us, and we should go in there like men and women and make our voices heard and say that it sucks, and we don't agree, and we vote against it. But, you know, this is, you know, we're going to live with it because this is the system we live in, man. You understand that, right, Wisconsin? This is the system we're living in here. Unfortunately, you got beat, man. Unfortunately, you don't have the votes. What do you want? You can vilify a man and call him a piece of crap. You can say they're a bunch of Nazis. You can say whatever you want. You can get fat ass on your side there, Michael Moore, who was shifting between lauding everybody that was protesting there in the Capitol Dome in Washington or in Madison, and then also commenting on the Academy Awards and how this cinematographer worked for him and that cinematographer, all of it very deftly while he was sucking from one chicken leg to another. While he was unwrapping one Hershey bar after the next.
You ain't exactly the skinniest guy.
I told you. I know I'm not skinny. Fat guys can make fun of other fat guys. Do you understand?
Well,
no. Do you understand?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I can make fun of him all I want, man. If he wants to make fun of me, he can do that. I can call him a fat ass until the cows come home and he barbecues them. Take it easy, bud.
Yeah.
But that fat slob was on Twitter talking about how, yeah, do it, baby, power to the people, while he was gnawing on another chicken leg that he was reaching for in a Tupperware container next to his bed because he doesn't get out of bed.
He probably lays there like that guy Larry with an oxygen tube.
Man, what are you going to do? Sound like you're going to have an orgasm.
Take it easy.
You're perverted.
Take it easy. Well, Michael Moore's there with his Twitter and a big Tupperware container of chicken legs and milkshakes, and he's tweeting about this over here in Madison, and here comes his tweets about Hollywood. And you do it, baby, and you go for it, and everybody's safe there. You know, Moore, you are a caricature. You are, I don't even know if you know how completely insincere you sound. So I would think, and that's just me, I'd say this is the process. And folks, you know, if you're a new listener to this radio show, you know, so if I say that I am pro-gay marriage, but I'm also in favor of the Republicans in Wisconsin and getting their bills passed, what does that make me? I guess that makes me some kind of untouchable weird ass. Is that it?
Well, you're like Michael Reagan.
What? What do you mean Michael Reagan? Pro-gay marriage? Anyway, we'll see what happens. Coming up next, let's find out whether I am truly pro-gay marriage or not. Charlie Sheen is on the agenda, and I'm kidding.
You know something we don't know.
No, we'll talk about Charlie Sheen coming up and other items here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Check it out.
Radio.
We'll be right back.
For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have an episode of Iron Swine coming up. Am I right about you guys ready to go?
Yeah, hold on just a minute. I got to get my pants on.
What are you talking about your pants, man?
I'm in the bathroom.
Hold on. I got to get my pants on. Okay, are we ready? Here we go.
Wonderful feeling.
What was that?
What? Iron Swine.
Yeah, this is Iron Swine. Today on Iron Swine, we go to Michael. We're going to deliver Michael Moore breakfast.
Yeah, Iron Swine gets a call. Iron Swine. Hello, Iron Swine.
Yeah, man. I got to eat, man. I'm Michael Moore. I got to eat.
All right, bring up. I'll get the breakfast.
Well, Iron Swine, come over to Michael Moore's house, and then a lady, she get the food.
8 fried pork sausages.
Yep, that's it.
What else do you want to have? Tell them what the whole order.
8 fried pork sausages, 6 fried eggs, 2 large plates of French fries, 10 slices of fried bread, 2 ham and cheese bagels.
And then?
Gay as hell.
There's Iron Swine. Iron Swine,
and we just delivered it.
That sucked, you guys.
What? That's bitching.
That sucked. Iron Swine delivers breakfast.
Yeah, man, I bet you that's what he has.
What else does that lady say? Let me hear this.
8 fried pork sausages,
okay.
6 fried eggs,
right.
2 large plates of French fries,
okay.
10 slices of fried bread,
got it.
2 ham and cheese bagels,
okay.
8 steaks,
ouch.
4 portions of rice,
ouch.
10 cakes,
uh-oh.
1 portion of spaghetti bolognese,
love it.
6 potatoes,
uh-huh.
2 large cups of tea,
mercy.
Each with 7 sugars,
yes.
1 gallon of fresh orange juice,
yeah.
And 1 quart of punch.
Ooh.
A total of 14,349 calories.
Can you dig it?
Yes.
Man, how much a person supposed to have?
A human being? What is it, 35? A big guy? Like a guy like me, 3,500 calories? Something like that?
And I get 14,000.
Yeah, not to mention...
I like wiener.
But,
you're getting in trouble for that.
Yeah, 3,500 calories equals 1 pound. Is that what you're saying, Jason? 3,500 calories equals 1 pound of extra weight. Average man, oh, I see. So the average man shouldn't consume more than 2,000 to 2,200 calories unless they are athletes, which means they're going to be consuming and burning a lot of carbs. Well, you know what? You know what 2,200 calories is? 2,200 calories is 2 average-sized steaks. So what Mr. Rance is telling us is that the average man should eat no more than 2 average-sized steaks a day. Are you out of your mind?
Gay as hell.
No way, man.
He knows what he's talking about. You don't know what you talk about.
I know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you why I know what I'm talking about. Because It just so happens that I took Mr. Rance's advice once, and I started counting calories. Not that he's a calorie counter, but I realized, I said, I just had my day's worth of calories. You know, I had 2,500 calories, and it was simply two medium-sized New York strip steaks. And I love steak, you know.
Yeah, but a good thing about that, man, is you can eat as much of that as you want.
Well, here's the thing. Counting calories is kind of stupid. What else are you saying here, Rance? 2,200 is based on the average person's diet, which would include more carbohydrates and less protein and fat, of course. But it's 2,200. However, here's the thing. 140 calories, you say, of Coca-Cola is like deadly, right? So if I was doing a 2,200 calorie a day diet, and I rounded out that 2,200 calories with 140 calories from a diet soda, or from a soda, you're telling me that's, no, you're wrong. One strip steak is only about 400. No, you're wrong. 8 ounces? No, you're no way, man. If you have two 16 ounce steaks. Anyway, make a long story short. A Coca-Cola is 140 calories, but he claims it's worse.
Well, I mean, Coca-Cola, you said since you stopped drinking Coca-Cola, how much weight you lost?
I've lost 16 pounds.
You are just not drinking a Coca-Cola, or do you drink Coca-Cola?
What?
Do you drink the Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
What do you mean Coca-Cola, man? Quit acting like a jackass and tell me what you're talking about.
I'm just saying, you get the Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Get out of here before I start swinging on you. Coca-Cola. Where am I, man? Atlanta?
What's that mean, Atlanta?
That's the way they say, never mind. That's the way they say Coca-Cola in Atlanta, which is the capital. It is the headquarters. It is the main thing for Coca-Cola. And they say Coca-Cola down there. All right. Supreme Court, anti-gay funeral picketers are allowed. Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday that a grieving father's pain over mocking protests at his Marine son's funeral must yield to First Amendment protections. This is this Westboro Baptist Church, which I must say, I thought they were kidding. And I realize they're not. Now, you and I, we look at something like that and we think, how can anybody do that? It is ego, is what it is. It's absolute, consummate ego. It is a sin if you go strictly by the Christian code. If you go strictly by the Bible, what they're doing is an absolute sin against God and against, and again, I'm not a Christian, but I play one on television. And
yes.
No, so what I'm saying is this. This is pure, unadulterated ego. It has nothing whatsoever to do with God. It has everything to do with Fred Phelps and his egocentric, egotistical hag of a daughter, Shirley, and the rest of those closet homosexuals. Thank you very much, and a very pleasant...
I like Wiener.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I understand about how you think that they're, like, you know, in a closet, but on the same token, if they're not...
Yeah, okay, thanks. Why did I even ask you? We're going to talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court ruling, believe it or not, folks, and put yourselves in the position of that father that these bastards can be standing there as your young son, a Marine, is being laid to rest, and they're saying, God hate good. Your son's going to hell. Your son's going to hell. And there's nothing you can do about it? And also the story of a wife clinging to the hood of her husband's car because... I don't know. It was like a custody dispute or something with a car. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back. back here, and it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we broadcast here across the country on great network of great affiliates, as well as on our webcast, Phil TV, which is in HD now. You can check it out at philhendryshow.com. We were on this topic, and I want to stay with this for just a second. The Supreme Court, the anti-gay funeral picketers, et cetera, and so on and so forth. Now, we interviewed this Shirley Phelps, and she is not a stupid woman. She's very smart. She's an attorney. Her father's an attorney. Her father, as a matter of fact, was one of those advocating for the integration of schools in 1954 in Brown versus the Board of Education. That is, the integration of the Topeka, Kansas schools. Fred Phelps was an advocate for integration. They have long been, according to them, and according, I guess, to the record, long been advocates of racial justice, but it does not extend to gay people. You know, and now I'm not quite sure I understand their hatred of the military to the extent that they hope that the parents of a young fallen Marine know that their son's going to hell. That's what they do. They stand there saying, you're going to hell. God hates the USA. Thank God for 9/11. But I think it has to do with the fact that America is a godless, heathen society, and so therefore any fighting force that would defend her is corrupt itself, meaning the U.S. Marine Corps, or soldiers that have died in service to the United States. I mean, all of these things are enough. If I were the father of that boy, they'd be enough for me to go out there and my own personal safety be damned to just wade into those people and start swinging with anything I had, you know?
Yeah, man, I'll be right behind you, man.
Well, you know what? We'd wind up getting killed probably, or thrown in jail, or what's worse, killing somebody and then being thrown in jail for a long time. But you have to believe that that's what they want, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, they're such a bunch of douchebags. They want you to go and kick their ass and everything, then they sue you.
That's exactly what they want to do. They are provocateurs. And their point being, they're such ego cases. And, you know, I was talking to Rance about this during the break. He had a good point. He says every demonstration is an egocentric demonstration. What's different between these people and what's happening in Wisconsin, other than the fact that the people in Wisconsin are convinced they're right, and these people convinced they're right, and the Tea Party, you know, with all due respect, they're right, and everybody is into their ego, and everyone's into how right they are. And I heard a guy being interviewed one day on the radio. He said, "With the big problem we have today, people are addicted to being right. Not necessarily actually right, but just being right. In other words, even if they're wrong, even if they have the most head-up-the-ass argument, they want to make sure they're right." I mean, if you're arguing with somebody, do you want that argument to come out in your favor, or do you want that argument to come out in favor of what the truth is?
I want it to come out in my favor.
Why?
Because I believe in the truth.
Yeah, that's what I'd want, too.
How do you know that what you believe, though, is the truth?
I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't.
You wouldn't believe in it if it wasn't. How do you know that it's the truth, though?
Because why would you believe in something that ain't the truth?
Well, you wouldn't want to believe in something that ain't the truth, would you?
Uh-uh.
All right. So what if you found out that what you believe is not the truth? Would you abandon it and believe something else?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then if you were arguing with somebody and you found out that your point of view wasn't the truth, would you abandon it and go to something else?
I don't get it.
Yeah, what do you mean? If I'm arguing with somebody...
What do you mean, what do I mean?
If I'm arguing with somebody, I know I'm right.
If you're arguing with somebody, you think you're right. You don't necessarily know that you're right.
No, I know I'm right because I want to be in the... or know about the truth. And
but you don't even know what you're talking about, man. If you're arguing with somebody, you think you're right. If you're arguing with somebody, you think you're right, but you don't know. I mean, you can only hope. You can only, maybe there's some things that we know. But, I mean, if the other person's argument with you or the other person's points to you were so logical and were so crystal clear, don't you think you could be convinced?
No, but that's why I believe what I believe, because I was convinced.
You were convinced when? In an argument?
Yeah.
With who?
Probably that same guy.
Well, you get out of here. You clowns don't even know what I'm talking about. Are you willing... Do you have enough of a love of the truth? Are you willing to say, you know what? You convinced me. You're right. I was wrong. How do we do that ever in this world of ours?
Well, I mean, probably people do, but not in the news.
Yeah, but there, you got that right, man. Probably people do, but it ain't in the news. Probably, you know, for instance, do you ever think that fat ass, would you think fat ass would stand there and somebody would be talking to him about something? He'd say, you know something? You're right, man. I was wrong about that. You think he'd do that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. You know why? Because he's got his life, his career, his image, and everything is wrapped up in being so self-righteous and sanctimonious that he can't afford to be wrong. Some people have an investment in the credibility of their righteousness that they can't afford to be wrong. So that's where we are. So you have this group of people saying that God hates the USA, thank God for 9/11, and one that combined the U.S. Marine Corps motto Semper Fi with a slur against gay men.
I wonder what that was.
Well, Semper Fi, I don't know.
Probably something having to do with, like, sex, you know, with the butt.
Well, all right. You don't graphically say it, okay?
Oh, I thought you wanted to know.
I can imagine. Justice Samuel Alito, the lone dissenter, said Snyder wanted only to bury his son in peace. Instead, Alito said the protesters brutally attacked Matthew Snyder to attract public attention. Our profound national commitment to free and open debate is not a license for the vicious verbal assault that occurred in this case. And he has a point. Don't we have something called hate speech? Don't we have something called, you know, a hate speech, a provocative racial pronouncement?
Yeah, you can't call a man the N-word.
Well, I don't know if you can call him the N-word, but we have a thing called hate speech wherein if violence ensues, you can charge somebody with hate speech. But why can't we have something that protects an individual who's trying to bury his son? Now, the ruling, though, was in line with many earlier court decisions. This is what Mark Sherman of the Associated Press says. It sucks, but the court's being consistent. A year ago, the justices struck down a federal ban on videos that show graphic violence against animals. One of the reasons why they did that was not because we had an unlimited right to show violence against animals. They did it because the law wasn't written properly. There is a limit. There are limits that could be set, but you couldn't just generally say no expressions like that. In 1988, the court unanimously overturned a verdict that was in favor of the Reverend Jerry Falwell in a libel lawsuit against Hustler magazine. It was against Larry Flint. Larry Flint had a parody ad in his magazine that basically said, "Hi, I'm Jerry Falwell, and I learned sex from my mother in an outhouse while drinking Smirnoff vodka." Something like that.
You kidding me, man? I didn't see that.
That was the slur.
Yes, I thought.
Uh-huh. So anyway, the federal court overturned that, saying, no, that's legitimate parody. It's rough. It's real rough, and it's real vicious. But he's allowed to do that. What might have made this case different was that the Snyders are not celebrities or public officials, but private citizens. Both Roberts and Alito agreed that the Snyders were the innocent victims of the long-running campaign by the church's pastor, Fred Phelps, and his family members, who make up most of the Westboro Baptist Church. Roberts said there was no doubt the protesters added to Albert Snyder's already incalculable grief. But Roberts said the frequency of the protests and the church's practice of demonstrating against Catholics, Jews, and many other groups is an indication that Phelps and his flock were not mounting a personal attack against Mr. Snyder, but expressing deeply held views on public topics.
What do I mean, deeply held views?
Who knows? Indeed, Matthew Snyder was not gay. But Westboro believes that God is killing American soldiers as punishment for the nation's sinful policies. Speech is powerful. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, we cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker. Well, And the father, Mr. Snyder, said, "My first thought was those eight justices don't have the common sense God gave a goat, We found out today we can no longer bury our dead in this country with dignity. You know, that's the whole thing. I don't think we ever figured, maybe when the country was founded, I don't think the founding fathers figured on the extremes that people go to for speech. But nonetheless, when the country is in a juvenile sort of period, as it is right now, and by that I mean mentally juvenile, where, again, we're like a bunch of teenagers, all we want is me, then, you know, it's going to happen. I think there's going to be decisions like that.
Well, I think if I was there, I'd go and beat up on the Phelps guy.
You're going to go beat up on him, man. You're going to get thrown in jail. You know, forget it, man. It's not even worth it. Not even worth it. All right, we got Charlie Sheen coming up, man. And so we're going to go to a break because I want to save all the good stuff for after the break. Because Charlie Sheen, I mean, not really. But, you know, it's interesting to find out what's going on with Charlie. I mean, we're going to be watching you now, Charlie, every day of your life. We're going to be watching you. And if you slip just once. Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. A woman has survived a wild ride clinging to the hood of her husband's car. He was driving 100 miles per hour, and he's a meth addict. Yes, that fun, that frivolity, that joy.
Can you dig it?
Was had by a woman in Manteca, California. A California woman holding on for her life. Her husband, Christopher Carroll, 36, was driving while he was allegedly in the middle of a drug binge. And she tried to stop him by jumping on the hood of the car, you know.
Well, that's about the nuttiest thing what I ever heard.
Well, who knows, man? Maybe she was panicked or drunk or, you know, I'm not saying she was on meth, but obviously she was trying to get her husband under control. It ain't going to happen. As he backed up on the driveway, she was thrown and her foot became stuck on the vehicle's side mirror. She told ABC affiliate KGO in San Francisco, "I was holding on literally by the tips of my fingers and basically my ankles." The woman, whom ABC News has chosen not to identify because she's the victim of domestic abuse, was able to look at her husband in the eye through the windshield as he drove at speeds up to 100 miles per hour along a highway and through the mountains heading toward San Francisco. Man, that's like something out of Dirty, speaking of San Francisco, that's right out of Dirty Harry. The unidentified woman talks to KGO television about the night's events.
Holding on literally by the tips of my fingers and basically by my ankles. Now I know it was the stupidest thing in my life I've ever done, but I jumped on the hood of the van. He backed out quickly, and when he did that, it turned me, and I got stuck.
Could you see your husband as he was driving?
Yes.
Could he see you?
Yes.
What was the look in his eye, and what was he thinking?
He looked crazy. That man that was driving was not my husband.
Yeah.
He was taken over by the meth.
Well, and then he looked in the mirror and said, and kept on driving. You know.
I'll bet you that man, that guy. Every time I look at that face, it's a meth.
Oh, that Faces of Meth. You got to check that out on the Channel 5 website, man. Faces of Meth. Anyway, here is Christopher Carroll now. Now, hold on to your hats for this one. This cat is nuts. Christopher Carroll granted KGO Television a brief on-camera appearance from prison, but he wouldn't take any questions. He merely said,
"I want to tell you that I've killed Manuel and his 12 disciples. He ain't nothing on me."
Yeah, okay, let's go. Plus,
he ate my finger.
Thank you very much.
He said he ate my finger?
No, he didn't say that. "I killed Manuel and his 8 disciples. They ain't got nothing on me, man."
Man, that guy's way out there.
You know, these people are messing around with meth, and meth is a speed, and as if you didn't know. But I believe with all of my heart that, and we're finding out more and more now about drug addiction. It's really interesting. It's a fascinating area to study, pharmacology. People have been trying to adjust their brain chemistry for thousands and thousands of years when they don't feel right, when things don't look right, if things aren't going right, if they're sensing. They, you know, started by eating plants, maybe smoking things, maybe, you know, going to the alchemist and finding something that he could grind up in his little dish there. And I really believe these are people, especially meth addicts, man, they're in dire need. These are people whose brain chemistry is so out of whack. It's medication.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like a whole lot of liberal stuff, man. I mean, these people, they just got to go cold turkey.
Yeah, the go cold turkey is fine, man. I got nothing against that. But then the guy goes out onto the street, and he's clean and so, and he's looking to do the same thing, adjust that brain chemistry again. So what's good about the new school of pharmacology is they're learning more about brain waves and about brains and saying, here's what this guy needs. Here's what she needs. Okay, I see what's happening with the alpha waves in this guy's brain, the rear part of that brain, the left part of that brain. I mean, the more we learn about the brain, the more we learn about the electromagnetic waves that course through it and the neurotransmitters, the better off we're going to be dealing with drug addicts, man. That's the way to do it. Although I know it's going to be a long time. In the meantime, kill every drug dealer between here and, Guadalajara. That's my idea. All right. Here's Charlie Sheen now. Judge bans Charlie Sheen from his kids, his ex-wife. Sheen allegedly threatened to decapitate his ex-wife. He's doing real good. The firestorm around Charlie Sheen escalated on Wednesday when a judge ordered his two sons removed from the actor's home after his ex-wife obtained a stay-away order against Sheen, claiming he had threatened her. Now, here's a guy that was on television just moments, you know, not moments, but days ago, talking, you know, oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing good, man. I'm a rock star. I'm on a drug. It's called the Charlie Sheen drug. Meanwhile, dude, reality, your kids have now been taken from you. Now, I know that we've had great men and lesser men all come up against the authorities in life. Some very great people have come up against the authorities. Some very great people have been put in jail. Some very great people have been, well, dare I say, crucified. So it's not necessarily a badge of dishonor to have the authorities roust you. But I would say having your children taken from you in this society basically means you're not cool to raise them. And you got a spouse that's saying this. The 2.5 men star told reporters he did not know where his nearly 2-year-old twin boys, Bob and Max, were taken last Tuesday night after ex-wife Brooke Mueller, won a temporary restraining order against him. The embattled 2.5 men star appeared in control on Morning Chat Show Today on Wednesday, a contrast to angry public rants in recent days, in which he accused the makers of his hit TV sitcom of wrongfully suspending the show's production for the remainder of the current season and of being a bunch of Jews. He didn't say that, but...
Well, basically said it.
Here's Charlie Sheen telling the Today Show what happened with his children last night.
They were just being put to bed, and my assistant Rick informed me that the police were on their way down to issue a restraining order. And I thought, okay, we can deal with that. Got my lawyer on the phone. And then it was revealed once I opened the door that they were there to remove Bob and Max. So, you know, I've professed in this last few weeks to not deal and, you know, come from a place of panic, ego, emotion, any of that. So I stayed very calm and focused. And, you know, somebody badges you, they win in that moment.
All right. Good morning, America. Health editor Dr. Richard Besser tells ABC News that Charlie Sheen's acting in a way consistent with bipolar disorder.
There are two types of bipolar disorder, also called manic depressive illness. One where you're mainly seeing depressive symptoms with occasional mania. But what you're seeing here is a full-fledged manic episode. And with that mania, you see delusions of grandeur, you know, talking about having tiger blood, having a brain and a heart that can handle all of these drugs. You see pressured speech. So he's talking very quickly. He's jumping topics. He's saying things that don't make sense. And then one of the hallmarks of manic depressive illness is this lack of judgment in all aspects of his life. And that's what makes it so hard to deal with this illness.
He's huge.
And then we have addiction specialist Christina Wanzelak telling George Stephanopoulos this. this.
The most loving thing a family can do, and I know that this is really painful and also very counterintuitive, but the most loving thing families can do is to let the addict go.
He's huge.
Let the individual run into ourselves and face the consequences of the addiction on our lives.
Thank you very much. All right, that's all we can do with that. Our show produced by Jason Rantz, our technical director Rick Johnson, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com for your BSP, and don't forget our merchandise, best of CDs, as well as our shot glasses, and as well as our marvelous show. Get your podcasts, too, baby, through iTunes. The Phil Hendry Show. Until tomorrow, forget it.
Phil Hendry.